All aboard the CMO Convo train. Next stop, big chats about marketing. And for all you CMOs in the e-commerce space, or even if you're just curious about it, this one's not to be missed as we're speaking to Preethi Ann Kochuman, head of marketing for Argoid, on how AI is taking e-commerce to the next level. We cover personalized shopping experiences, multi-platform buyer journeys, smart inventory stocking, and more. So keep those ears open for all that goodness. Hi, Preethi. Welcome to CMO Convo. How are you doing today?
Hi, Will. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining us today as well, because it's a subject that I'm very interested to explore. We've talked about e-commerce a bit on this show, but talking about it with AI applications is something that's very new to me, and I think it's going to be quite new to quite a lot of our audience as well. So exciting times. But before we do get into that, Preethi, maybe you could tell us a bit about yourself and your role at Argoid. Tell us a bit about why we're speaking to you today.
Sure. So, hi, Will. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me. I currently head marketing for Argoid. Argoid is a search and personalization recommendation engine, and we offer personalization to e-commerce and OTT, and all of that personalization is AI driven. And yes, that's why I'm here, and that's why I'm talking about AI in e-commerce.
So before we do get started on talking about the AI applications of e-commerce, let's talk a bit about what e-commerce looks like right now, because went through a big growth during the pandemic. Is it still like that now? Are we still living in that times of wonderful, glorious times for e-commerce, or is it a bit different now that we're moving into a post-pandemic world, so to speak?
Yes, I think there have been, I think it has been unexpected. I think that growth was expected to sustain for a long time. And I think that's where maybe certain estimates and certain expectations just, sort of changed. And we know that, a lot of people preferred to go out and shop in brick and mortar stores. So e-commerce actually, instead of continuing on that, spike, it dipped. And I think in a lot of regions around the world, that's what's happened. And also, I think recently there was this whole layoff from Shopify, which is one of those, one of the biggest e-commerce platforms. So that sort of tells us that there were some, gaps in estimations and expectations that have changed now in the post-pandemic world. And so it is a little bit more challenging.
But despite those challenges, and despite the drop in like numbers and predictions of growth, customer expectations are still going to be very high. We've come to expect a certain standard when it comes to e-commerce. We expect very speedy delivery. We expect our shopping baskets to be shared across multiple platforms. That's something that's going to keep continuing even in a post-pandemic world, that kind of high expectations for e-commerce, surely.
Yes, I think e-commerce currently has a really tricky job of, keeping all its customers happy all of the time, because wherever you are, whatever channel you're on, you expect that the brand or the retailer knows you and gets you, and is offering the kind of customer service and all of the services that they can offer. But offering it, in an omni-channel, with an omni-channel experience. So whether you're doing it online or whether you're in a store, all of the expectations are still there. So yes, I think the customer still wants what they want. And I think that's where e-commerce has to maintain that balance between what works versus what does the customer want, and what's the ideal way to bring these experiences together. Because there are certain things that e-commerce, or let's say online retailing, that there are huge advantages in. And then there's the whole feel of it, which people want in a brick and mortar store. So it's those things that any retailer or brand is sort of trying to stride these two worlds and bring a balance there. So yeah, I think that's where the challenge lies.
And I think personalization has got to be one of the biggest challenges for sure. Like we've moved beyond the whole world of people being impressed by Amazon recommending just like these are products that people bought, this product like kind of thing. We expect a bit more from e-commerce now. Like, and it's kind of similar to what you're saying, people want that feel from brick and mortar. They want to kind of have that human touch, even though it's an e-commerce thing. So with that in mind, how does AI offer a solution to these challenges? Is it just making us do things better and quicker, or is there certain things that AI can do that just that human touch or even just standard automation can't do?
Yes, absolutely. I think AI has now sort of permeated every sort of component of e-commerce. Maybe it's not as advanced as it will be a few years from now, but I think there is an AI solution to almost every aspect of managing a store online, whether it be from, you know, helping to increase conversions, or whether it be, you know, store management itself, or inventory, or merchandising. All of that have AI aspects to them. So I think that when it comes to personalization, personalization itself is something that is that AI can do way better than any other solution, because there are times, and I know this from my experience when I was at Amazon, and I used to do something called site merchandising. And I know at that time, all of the site merchandising that happened was, you know, the site merchandiser's ideas and thoughts that they find themselves on the page. And It wasn't difficult to do from a, you know, an execution point of view, but to have to think about what would your audience like, and what might they potentially be interested in, and also sort of considering the entire audience as one homogeneous mass. You might be able to segment them, but then even then they are like a mass of people. But what AI has been able to do is to make it a store for one person. So you can actually, whatever you see on your store is just meant for you, and it's just you who are seeing it. And, you know, even if there's someone else next to you sitting and browsing the same site, they see something totally different.
Well, I was going to say that's something that you can't even achieve, that level of personalization in brick and mortar.
Yes.
Unless you're very, very wealthy and going with like personal shoppers and stuff like that. Having a store that's pretty much designed specifically for you, that is an advantage of e-commerce over brick and mortar. That,
or, you know, like you said, you're very rich, or you have like this small little neighborhood corner store that you run out to, and then everybody knows everybody else. And then you get that kind of that level of personalization, maybe, if they like you. I think yes, and then that's the scale of it. That's the, you know, how AI is able to deliver at that kind of scale, because, you know, thousands of customers, thousands of visits, thousands of orders, and products. So when it comes to products, you know, for store owners, you have a lot of products. You're getting new products, you know, every day. Your number of SKUs on your website are increasing. How do you make sure that people are discovering that? So that's again where, you know, AI again the role in product discovery, because when you think about AI and when you think about data, there isn't enough data about the product. And if it's a new user, there isn't enough data about the new user. So, you know, how do you sort of match them? And that's where AI, you know, there are a whole lot of ways in which AI can work to even look at what is called the cold start problem. And and match people or match individuals to products and whatever it is that they want and are interested in.
And it's also about being able to reach them on the platform they need to be reached on as well. Like, it's e-commerce isn't just about people sitting on their laptops or sitting on their computers and doing their orders and stuff now. Like, it's a multi-platform, multi-device experience. People might start browsing on TikTok or Instagram, and then they might switch their computer to make the final orders, and being able to keep track of all those orders, being able to have that shopping basket moving across all these different platforms, that's going to be a lot easier to manage using AI than using any other kind of, well, using humans to try and keep track of that, for sure.
Absolutely. And I think, I mean, before, because you mentioned like this offsite kind of thing, which is, you know, away from the website, and sort of bringing them back into bringing them back to that retailer or to that brand. I think it's also up. You know, we have been, or at least I have been hearing a lot about AI in email. And this is, again, one sort of application where, you know, you know that someone's abandoned their cart, or maybe they've purchased, and then there is an opportunity to bring them back. And using a personalized email, which is, again, something that AI can do, and, you know, you couldn't imagine doing that manually, you know, curating products for every individual that bought or has an abandoned cart. But AI can do that easily because you can just look at what are the products that the customer might have been interested in, what have they abandoned, and just send them an email with very personalized products or personalized offers even, and then bring them back. So yeah, so customer retention, that you know, AI is able to play a role there as well.
And I suppose as well, they'll be able to be proactive about it as well. You'll be able to get great models to see where people are dropping off, why people are dropping off, and be able to counter them proactively rather than just sitting around and trying to fix the problem after it's occurred.
Yes, I think, and also, of course, there is a lot of data that says it's better to, you earn more from customers that you retain from your existing customers than, you know, you're trying to acquire new customers. So obviously there is a cost attached to acquiring new customers, but then if your existing customers, if you can, you know, make sure that they stay and they come back and they continue to purchase from you, and then they're loyal to you because you have this level of understanding of them and are able to offer, you know, this whole bunch of personalization, which feels to them as if we know them, then that just changes the game, because it's not just about your calling you by your first name in the email, or just addressing you, or just showing you something that you just recently bought. That it's not just that. It needs to go beyond that, and that's something that you could do manually, but AI can just take that up several notches.
It allows you to scale it in a lot more effective way. You'd need a team of hundreds of people responding to every single request, every single inquiry. And speaking of that, customer experience, customer service, it's got to be a big thing for AI. You see a lot of AI-driven chatbots and stuff like that these days, especially on Amazon. And then there's got to be stuff in the back end as well. Sort of, you mentioned inventory earlier. I imagine you can create sort of like predictive models and stuff like that to work out the levels of inventory you'll need and stuff, but there's got to be other things you can do with sort of operations with AI in e-commerce.
Yes, absolutely. So I mean, that's something that we were looking at too. I mean, as part of our part of what we do, we look at mainly, you know, the conversion aspect of it, and increasing the basket size and the average order value and all of that. But there is the whole journey, the whole e-commerce customer journey, that, you know, various aspects of it that AI can impact. And from customer service through, as you said, like, you know, with a chatbot, through store design, in terms of how is your store designed well enough that the customer can have a very smooth journey through it, or how do they encourage you to purchase and not just leave halfway? When it comes to product descriptions, you know, there's a ton. Product catalogs are growing, in giga and terabytes every day. So how do you ensure that you have product descriptions that make sense, that are of that volume and of that quality? So AI again there, search has gone beyond just keywords on your e-commerce website. I mean, whatever you put in as a product there, or whatever words you've used to describe your product, it may not necessarily be what the customer is looking for. So that needs an AI push when it comes to search. There are various other things like, you know, virtual shopping and, automated or shoppable ads. And all of that, again, is AI driven, and all of that is adding to the entire journey, like end to end, is probably getting very AI AI-based, and it's interesting. I think not everything is as advanced, but I think it's great that we're getting there, and we are not expending human effort on things that AI can do better, and then we focus our attention on things that we as humans do better, which is just getting to know people.
Exactly. Like, if you've got AI functions taking care of sort of the day-to-day stuff, or the stuff that is just literally keeping the wheels turning, it allows the human element to devote their resources, devote their creativity in a better way. Like, I think customer service is a great example of that. If you've got chatbots taking care of sort of like the FAQs, like the frequently asked questions and stuff like that, it allows your customer service personnel to focus their efforts on major problems that are occurring. So rather than wasting their time dealing with sort of like the day-to-day issues, they can focus more on giving the best customer service they can, basically. Mm-hmm. So Preethi, we've talked a lot about the benefits of AI. Let's talk about some of the practicalities, like what kind of infrastructure do CMOs need in place to be able to start using AI alongside e-commerce? Is it a matter of having a certain level of customers required? Is it about having enough data in place? Is it about having the right personnel to sort of manage the applications? Because we spoke a bit about how humans can do things to a certain extent. When is that extent that an AI application is actually required to actually do keep things moving forward?
Yes, I think it requires at the very basic level, it's the person who is planning to or thinking of it. I think that person needs to have has to have enough of an understanding of AI and its applications, because otherwise it's just everybody shooting in the dark. So I think that while it may not be possible for everyone to have an expert level of understanding, I think that from a marketing perspective, at least, if we think only of marketing, there are a whole lot of, there's a whole lot of marketing tools that are available now. I mean, when it comes to content marketing, there is AI that can write articles for you, but obviously you need a human, you need human oversight there. But, there's even like creative, graphics and images that AI can create nowadays, and pretty well, actually. So I think that it is, so all of these tools are available, and I think they are going to be just, everywhere. So I don't think that we have the luxury right now of thinking yes AI or no AI. I think AI is definitely there. It's about how intense or how mature you are with the AI. And then coming to the understanding part of it, I think I personally did do, a couple of courses in data science and understand what AI is like and what kind of applications they are. Maybe not particularly in e-commerce, but I did get this understanding of machine learning and algorithms and how they actually work, to understand that, it's not 100% accurate thing. There is something, there's a certain amount of accuracy, and there are different models, and this is how something is arrived at, and this is how AI works. So I think once that understanding is set, then we go about looking for what are the tools, what helps with what we need to do, and what is it that we're spending the greatest amount of time for. So for example, if there was a lot of time that I or my team was spending in writing, and it felt as if a lot of that research or a lot of that information, when I felt that I wish it was available, more easily, I wish I could browse or look at a lot of the written material on this particular topic. I wish I could look at it all at once. And when I started thinking like that, I thought that there must be something that that's automated this whole thing. And then I found a whole bunch of tools that did that. So we work a lot with Shopify merchants, and that's how we look at, when we look at AI. And there are so many applications for AI that sit very well with store management. So whether it be, having doing product descriptions at scale, or you know, having cropping and changing images, and having a lot of variants, being able to do that via AI, I think that is that's when we realize that these are things that you know AI can do well. And similarly for you know personalization, because of course that's what we do as well, we realize that we can do so much more simply by letting AI do its job. And you know, whether that is cross-selling or upselling or making sure that there is the right you know, the shop gets the right kind of offer, that the offers are tailored to the interests of that shopper, and you know, ensuring that they don't abandon their cart, that you know, they're given a compelling message while they're checking out, or sending them an email when they have you know, even when they've left the store. It's all of those things that we realize that that's something that we can do when we have that understanding of AI. And like I said before, it's not really a yes or a no thing anymore. It's just how soon. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when are you going to, you know, adapt AI and bring AI in? And in a lot of things, I think AI is already, the ads that you run, your Facebook ads and your Google ads and all, they're all very AI driven already. So it's just a matter of time before stores and e-commerce, you know, start to use them very consciously. But I think in various ways, we're already, you know, we're already there. We're already using a lot of the AI solutions.
For sure. It's certainly becoming the norm, or even just the expectation that you're utilizing these tools in some respect. But at the same time, even if the CMO or the marketing lead is going to take control of this project, has done all the research and has become an absolute expert on AI, they're still going to have to convince other stakeholders in the company who might not be familiar with AI. They might be a bit nervous about it. They might see the cost of the applications as something to be worried about. Is there a way to sort of show the benefits? Is there sort of like tests you can run? Can you just trial it on certain aspects of the business, or does it have to be AI over everything all the time kind of thing?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the approach I take to any sort of AI tool in my tech stack. I always, you know, either A/B test it with another tool or look at what kind of results I'm seeing from the tools, and then decide to scale it up or down as the case may be. I think there's definitely ways to do that. For you know, take the case of Argoid itself. We always offer the ability to A/B test against other tools, other solutions, and then there is a very transparent dashboard, because there's really no way to you know, hide behind anything, or it's all very transparent. And you know, one day or the other, you will see it's all reflected in your balance sheet at the end of the day. There's no way to hide that. So it is what it is, and it has to be as transparent as possible. So it is definitely possible to start off small and understand the benefits, see how it works, or whether it integrates with your ecosystem, and then scale it from there. And that would be my advice. Of course, I am at a startup, so things are slightly different here. There aren't, you know, a ton of approvals required before you get something done. And also the budgets are also sort of, you know, in that range, which don't require a huge, you know, there's not a huge outlay of cash that's required. So maybe it's a bit, it's still challenging, because it's not that, you know, you have to sort of prove ROI for whatever it is that you're suggesting. But maybe the risks are fewer. And also, being an AI startup, I think, again, the job is easier to convince people about AI. But I can imagine, like, these like legacy companies and bigger organizations that might have trouble getting it in. I think the interesting part is that there are a lot of AI SaaS, you know, tools available that make it possible to start off at a small scale and experiment and, you know, run it for a small cohort, let's say, or a small group of a small amount of data, let's say mm-hmm. that. And then if it works, then scale it up.
For sure. So let's say this test has gone well and you're looking into rolling mm-hmm. out mm-hmm. AI in a major way. Obviously, we've been talking about this mainly from sort of the marketer's perspective, but what other departments need to be involved in this project? What are the other important stakeholders within a business who need to be involved in sort of bringing AI into e-commerce? I imagine sort of like the head of product would be important because I'll be involved with product descriptions. But let's talk about any others who would be involved in that process.
Yes, I think the product is definitely one of the most important, you know, sort of functions, because what an e-commerce company or a retailer does, it depends on the product. And when I say product here, I mean the product as the website or a mobile app, or, you know, not products on the store. So the way that the customer journey is designed, and the way that the customer, the flow that the customer has through that particular store, I think that plays a huge role. And, you know, anyone who's involved in that customer journey needs to be involved in these decisions. So it could be product, and I think, you know, IT or engineering, you know, whatever that is called in that particular company, they need to be involved as well, because that does involve, you know, changes in terms of the tech, in terms of the integration, in terms of the data. So I think product and IT and marketing, I think they are probably the biggest stakeholders here. And then, of course, the top-down approach is always useful if you have a CEO or a leader who is encouraging of it, who understands it, and also understands that it's not really that magic bullet, but that it's something that one needs to understand and sort of make it compatible with what you do, compatible with your culture, compatible with your system. I think those would be the stakeholders.
Awesome. So let's talk about the future of the technology, because like, we're still in the infancy of AI. Like, there's still a lot of cool ideas I've seen floating around that could eventually be applied if the technology develops to a certain extent. To my mind, just off the top of my head, like personalization going even further, product descriptions tailored directly to a customer, not just like the products, but the actual product descriptions. I've seen that already with like Netflix does different different descriptions depending on the user, like, and stuff like that. So I could see that happening in e-commerce. But what other stuff could we see on the horizon? What are you seeing out there that could be really exciting to get involved with at this stage, so you can hit the ground running when that new stuff comes along?
Right. I did want to talk about the Netflix thing, which
I want to hear it from your perspective, because you'll have done a lot more research into it than I have.
I just meant that, you know, Netflix was Netflix is one example, yes, and it was this article that I read where they had graphics and they had visuals customized to how you might want to see that might attract you more and encourage you to watch that movie. So it's like they've got multiple variants of the movie poster, just so that, if it's you viewing it and they show that poster to you, the poster that's most likely to get you watching that movie. So I think it seems like a no-brainer when you think about it, because AI can do that for you. And that's what you've... But then, yes, then you, of course, also start thinking, I mean, is it so easy to manipulate me? seems like it is. So that part of it, yes. But in e-commerce, I think there is a lot that is there. Something that's very interesting to me, I think, is the whole virtual shopping experience, where you get the feel of, the offline the offline experience, but without the hassle of having to go to the store and fight crowds and, you know, not have enough trial rooms and waiting in line and all of that. I think that kind of thing, or, you know, the virtual try-ons, I think that technology again is very interesting to me, where that you're able to do that again without visiting the store, but still sort of have that experience of trying on something and knowing if it suits you. What I see is definitely this coming together of offline and online retail. I think that's similar to how we're still struggling with the hybrid versus fully remote versus, you know, in office kind of work from home and all of that. You know, no one has the right answer yet. It's, you know, people want to go into office, people don't want to go into office, people want to go in some days, people don't want to go in at all. And I think that's a very similar kind of struggle that's happening with retail as well. Because what do you do? I mean, if people want to shop online, but they want stores as well, but then, you know, it's also difficult to run so many brick and mortar stores if people aren't visiting. And, you know, and but people seem to prefer to visit the store, but then order online. It's all of those things. So I think the future is about how these things will come together and what's the best way to bring these things together, and retailers that are able to straddle these two worlds and straddle them well, like identify what are the things that work really well online and then offer the offline experience, but with that online, with the convenience of the online purchase and, you know, customer experience. I'm not sure exactly how or if there is one ideal way that it would work. But, you know, things like where retailers are already doing things like where you can, you shop online, but you can pick it up off in an offline store. Or there are all these, you know, easy checkouts and, you know, scan and checkout and self-checkouts that are now available in offline stores. So I think, yeah, those are ways of bringing the best of both worlds together. And I think that's where I see technology, technology moving. And the ones that win are going to be the ones that are able to bring them together well.
Yeah, it goes back to what we were saying earlier about making things seamless across multiple platforms and multiple devices. Like, think of your brick and mortar store as another device. Like, you have people browsing on their phone, checking availability on the laptop, and then going to the store to pick it up. And it's all one big seamless thing.
Yes.
Like that's got to be something to shoot for.
Yes.
So awesome, Preethi. I'm excited to see how things evolve in the future. I'm excited to see what people are doing now with AI and e-commerce. Yes. I think it's going to be very, very interesting to see how things evolve over the future. And also to see just what happens with e-commerce in general. Like, as we said at the top of the show, it's been through some very, very exciting times lately. And I'm sure there's going to be more exciting times in the future, and I'm looking forward to exploring that. But thank you very much for joining us today, Preethi. It's been a really, really interesting conversation. As I said, like, we've talked about e-commerce a lot, but looking at it from an AI perspective, it's been absolutely fascinating. I'm excited to see how things evolve in the future, and I'm sure our audience is too. And I'm sure they're grateful for your joining us today, and we're grateful to them, and we'll be back soon with some more CMO combos.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Bill. It's been great. And I'm glad I got to speak to you.
Me too, Preethi. Hopefully we can speak again soon.
Sure. Yes. Look forward to that.